thinking about scripture out of Psalms this afternoon, and it's one that you're all familiar with. Let's come magnify the Lord together. And the whole thing behind magnifying God is that we make Him bigger in our life. If you can magnify God, just make Him bigger or make Him better, then He's not God. God cannot be improved on. But what you can do by magnifying God in your own life is you can make Him so much bigger to you, because you are looking unto Jesus, who is the author and is the finisher of your faith. Amen? So as we magnify the Lord together, understand He just becomes bigger to you. And we need God big in our lives. It's not something that just we need for a short term. It's something that we need on a day by day, moment by moment. Because whether we like it or not, while we're here on this earth, there's a battle going on. And we have to understand that the battle that we fight, we are in the position of victory. And so we stand our ground. And when the enemy comes in like a flood to take away what belongs to us, that's where we say, no, this is the standard, this is the word, and we're not moving away from it. And so when we begin to declare the goodness of God, and especially based upon the truth of God's word, what simply happens is you begin to agree with God. You agree, and not one word that He has spoken will fall short. It will all come true. Amen. So we're hooking up with God, and we're believing God, and we're trusting Him to just simply do what He said He would do. So we're not backing off. We're not what you call a back-off people. We're pressing on, bless God. Pressing on. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, we press on. And a lot of times you can look back in life past and say, well, you know, that was a good moment in my life. But the whole thing that you need to understand is that God is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Today is the day that we need it. Sufficient for today is the evil thereof. And we make a stand. This is the victory that we have. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God wants us to open our mouths. I shared with you, I'm sharing out of a book that I've loved reading, but never run at your giant with your mouth shut. And one of the best examples that we know and most of us are familiar with is the example of David when he ran out to meet Goliath. And I always thought it was amazing. They, you know, theologians say that David probably was anywhere from 16 to 18 years old. And he didn't just walk out to meet that giant. He ran out to meet him and told him what he was going to do to him. So when we're running toward a giant that's doing everything it can to keep you from operating in the covenant God has bought and paid for through the bloodshed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, we run at him with our mouth full of God's word. Amen. And sometimes it's hard for people to understand, because I think when you talk about confession in today's world, today's culture, and it hasn't changed. I've been doing this for a while, but it hasn't changed. There's more people that believe in negative confession than they believe in positive confession. All they want to do is bring to God all the bad things they've done for the last 5 years. Personally, I don't have enough time to do that. But I want God to know that I thank God for the blood that's been shed on my behalf. And so I've been washed of past, present, and possibly future sins, so that I can stay in constant connection with God, stay in fellowship with Him. And I tell this body as often as I can, when you miss the mark, it doesn't mean that you've fallen out of relationship with God the Father. You've just fallen out of fellowship. And you get back by asking God to forgive you, and then that fellowship is restored. But as far as the relationship, you being a father and you being a child and Him being your father, that doesn't change. Just like when your children miss the mark, you're still their, you know, I'm still their dad. And Seth is here tonight, so I can't talk about him. I have to talk about children that are not here. But I think so often that if we can simply do what God wants us to do and put His word in our mouth and not let it become such an obstacle, because the world is constantly putting out what it's going to do to you, the spirit of this world. And we may not think it's the enemy, but any time it comes laced with kill, steal, or destroy, you can almost bet your bottom dollar that it came right out of the pit of hell. And never in one moment will God ever use sickness and disease to teach you a lesson. We can learn out of anything, but God doesn't use sickness and disease. He doesn't need the enemy to be His battering ram. Amen? That's why when we get into the middle of a situation where somebody is deathly ill, we can say, he'll live and not die. You say, well, how dare you say that? Well, how dare you not say that? And you know, when you're in that position, you get to do that. It's a whole different story, because all of a sudden it's your conscience. All of a sudden it's your emotions. All of a sudden it's your family. And I know that you hear me say this, and I've talked about it over the years, but 3 years ago I had a brother-in-law that came down deathly ill over Christmas. And he got the kind of pneumonia that would kill you in 3 days. And it was just, once it happened, everything just started falling. And I got a call from my sister, and I beelined to Garden City and got in there. And one of the first things I said, because I just come out of a few battles myself, and I wasn't so crazy about getting in another battle. But I also understand this, that the enemy is relentless. He doesn't care whether you've been in a battle or you haven't been in a battle. He doesn't care if you feel like you've won or you haven't won. He will come and do everything he can to steal, kill, and destroy your covenant relationship with God and the benefits that come through that shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so what I did, I asked the Lord on the way down to the garden, I said, Lord, what do you want me to say when I get in that room? And he said, you tell him that he'll live and not die. And I said, I'd rather not. You say, I thought you're a faith man. Well, I am. But, you know, sometimes you do things by faith, whether you feel like it or not. But I said, and I just started sharing with God the things that have happened. I said, Lord, I don't know that I'm your guy right now. He said, you tell him. And I said, well, I'm going to tell him. But if you don't do it, I'm going to tell him you told me to tell him. And to make a long story real, a little bit shorter, my brother-in-law did live and not die. And it was a miraculous recovery. And I thank God for miraculous recoveries. And I thank God for his ability to do simply what he said he'd do. God is not a respecter of persons. What he has done for one, he'll do for others. Isn't that right, Kristen? Glory to God. Yeah, so we don't want to shut up. When we're running toward our giant, we fill our mouth with the word of God, and we tell the giant what's happened to it already under the blood. We've already attained the victory in Christ Jesus. It's not a matter of getting there and having the victory. We've got it. It's just like we plant the flag, and this is our territory. We live here. We abide here. And God is our source, and nothing's moving us off this spot. The only thing that can move you off this spot is your mouth. Amen. That little organ below your nose. Sometimes it can get us all in trouble. But God wants us to literally fight this thing. Hebrews 4:14 out of the Amplified Bible says, inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. We have faith in God. And that's what we're told to do over in Mark 11, is to have faith in God. Actually, a better rendition of that is have a God kind of faith. In other words, you begin to speak to things that are hindering your walk with God. And anytime God's word goes out of your mouth, I promise you, it will produce fruit. The Bible says in Proverbs, it says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. And they that eat the fruit of it are the ones that speak it. Now, you can speak bad things or you can speak good things. You can speak the word of God or you can speak something that's against the word of God. I've had people tell me, I remember I remember a lot of things because I've been doing this a while, but I remember one guy that really kind of had a common faith like I did, and there's times that you can get frustrated with your belief system. But I remember him telling me one time, he said, I don't believe what you believe anymore. As if that's supposed to jolt me back into, oh gosh, I'm sorry, I'm going to go with you and not believe too. I said, well, I'm really sorry to hear that. And what happened from that moment on was his life just went gradually down, 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 down. Because instead of calling those things that be not as though they are, he was calling those things that are as though they are. And there comes a time when you have to speak contrary to what you're experiencing in your circumstances. If your circumstances do not line up with the Word of God, it's just like when you got born again. I remind people of this all the time. When you got born again, all hell couldn't stop it. All hell and all of its forces, all its powers could not stop you and keep you from being born again. Then we become children of God, and we know that we're alive unto God. He lives big on the inside of us. And all of a sudden, we don't think God can do a miracle. And the greatest miracle that ever occurred in your life was one that occurred when you didn't know jack squat about God. I don't know if jack squat's in the Bible, but anyhow. If it's not a phrase used in today's common vernacular, it is now. Anybody ever heard that word, that expression? One, two, three, four other weird people. But using God's word is the most powerful tool you can have in your life. There isn't one more powerful. We can trust a lot of things, but I'm telling you, when you trust the word of God. And we talked a little bit about confession early on, but you know, in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we literally in that moment do confess our failure. We confess our sin, but that's so we can get back in right fellowship with God. You know what I'm saying? We're not to spend the rest of our life telling God how rotten we are. Newsflash, he already knew. That's why he gave his only begotten son for us. We begin to say about ourselves what God says about us and what Jesus says about us. We are children of God. So we recognize the power of positive confession. And I think sometimes people think, well, I can just confess that and just say it over and over and over again. And I always kind of bring everybody back to, listen, the Bible says that faith works by love. And to me, if faith that you're living by is not drawing you into more closer, intimate walk with Jesus, then it really isn't true faith. Because God's love literally helps your faith work. Faith works by love. So the more you walk in love, the more effectual your prayer results will be, especially the prayer of faith. I believe the prayer of faith speaks. And I believe when you speak the word of faith, that you should speak what God says about that particular situation. Confession always precedes possession. Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So even with our salvation, we have a belief system that we believe in our heart, and then we confess with our mouth our salvation. Somebody asks you, are you born again? So, well, you don't say, I think I am. You say, no, I am. Why? Because I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. I believe in my heart that God seated him at his own right hand. And I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth. And when I believe on him, that I am born again. Because the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that's why we work out our salvation with fear and trembling before God. We do it on a regular basis. Hebrews 3:1 again out of the New King James Bible says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Jesus is just simply waiting on you to say about your life what he paid for. Lord, you're the one that died for my sins, so I accept your sacrifice. Lord, you're the one that took upon yourself my healing, my sickness, so that I could be healed. I accept your healing. Lord, you're the one that took upon yourself my poverty, so I choose to take upon me your prosperity. And you're the one that took upon yourself my depression, my oppression, so therefore I take your joy. And I do believe this, that joy is a strength. Amen. And the Bible says as much, but we need to understand that our attitude is pretty important when we walk with God. People should see pretty much for the most part a pretty joyful person if you love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And if you agree with that, you can say amen if you want to. What's wrong with saying what God says about you? If God says you are, then you are. I was thinking about, I really wouldn't, I was getting ready to say, if the President of the United States walked in here, we probably wouldn't acknowledge him. Other than to say, maybe we're praying for you. God help you. But if Ronald Reagan happened to come walking in here. Just his presence would affect us a little bit. And especially if you were a God-fearing, United States-loving Christian, it would affect how you respond to him because of who he is and what he's done. Well, it's no different except to a larger scale that we should think that same way about Jesus because of what he's done for us. His presence makes a difference. We sing a lovely chorus from time to time, "Your presence is like heaven to me." And there is a presence of God that makes you feel like you've been caught up. And that's just simply the anointing of God. But the power of confession is just simply saying this, saying what the Word says about your situation. Jesus came to deliver us from sickness, disease. He came to free us from the curse of the law. And so your responsibility as a believer is just owning up to what God says about you. Well, God said it. God, you said I was the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I remember when I first got born again, I heard a friend of mine say, "Oh, Oak thinks he's got religion." And I said, "No, I haven't gotten religion. I've got Jesus. If he takes me along the religious path, that's one thing. But when I've come to know Jesus, I come to know Jesus, and that's not religion." And then I found out that pure religion, the undefiled, is taking care of the widow and orphans. And that's a good thing. That religion part is good. But I think what most people have a hard time doing, even in a church that kind of really promotes, you know, you need to open your mouth and fill it with the Word of God and say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Everybody say so. We could honestly say this. Your confession rules your life. You are sum total of what you've been speaking up to now. And it's, "Why haven't I been speaking all this?" Well, you got to remember this enemy, but he'll take anything he can and try to put it on you. But I'm telling you, if you get your words in line with the Word of God, you're limiting his access to your life. And what people do, and they begin to do, is they think God is not going to work them or help them out of that situation because either you've been there before or you're not perfect. You know, God doesn't move in our lives because we're perfect. He moves in our life because he who is in our life has washed us clean and he is perfect and his name happens to be Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, a common scripture to most everybody says to fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a good fight. Everybody say it's a good fight. You know why it's a good fight? Because we win. I'm one of those guys, when you watch a movie, I like to know what the ending is before I start watching it. If it's a horrible ending, don't want to watch it. Just like when I first got born again, I read the end of the book and I found out that we win. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I had to go clear from Genesis to the back of Revelation to find out we win, but we win. We win the moment Jesus' one drop of his blood was dropped onto this earth. The victory of God was established there, but fight the good fight of faith, and the understood subject for you and me is that you lay hold on eternal life. You lay hold on it. Refuse to not let go, to which you are also called and have confessed. Everybody's confessed. What does confessed mean to you? Does that mean you made a noise with your mouth? That's what the psalmist prayed. He said, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you." The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. The good fight of faith requires a good confession. Now, I understand that there is a lot more to the Bible than just the message of faith, but I also understand this, that the message of faith is needed in every part and facet of the Bible because that's how the Bible works. That's why the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. And so we begin to walk the good fight of faith. The fight of faith is not a losing fight. It's definitely a winning fight. But sometimes it seems like there's a little bit more fighting going on. Your emotions get involved. You think, well, if I haven't got it by now, I'm not going to get it. Well, it ain't over. Everybody says it's not over. So our identification with Jesus really requires that we identify with him with our communication. Jesus and I are one. Jesus prayed that prayer. He said, Father, we want to show them that just as you and I are one, that they are one with us. And they want us to be one. And we need to declare that. And people say, well, how can you declare you the righteousness of God? Because God does. How can you say you're the righteousness of God? Because Jesus took upon himself my filthy rags so that I could take upon myself his righteousness. I live this life not by my righteousness. Dear God, that got me in a lot of trouble. But I live it now based upon the righteousness of God in Christ. We're kind of responsible, if you will, to own up to the words of our mouth. We kind of are. You don't have to say anything. But sometimes it's good to get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Everything that I set my hand into is blessed. It prospers. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed by the hand of God. The hand of God is on my life. You say, well, why would you say that? Because God says that. He's looking. His eyes are running to and fro across the earth, looking for somebody that he can show himself strong on their behalf. And I don't know about you, but there's been, not every day, but probably a couple times a week, I'll say, Lord, you know, the scripture said your eyes are running to and fro across the earth looking for somebody that you can show yourself strong to. I go, look no further. This would be me. And I know he'll do that for everybody because God's not a respecter of person, but he wants us to be in faith. Faith really does declare the end result before you ever get there. Right in the middle of adversity, faith speaks. And it calls those things which be not as though they are. And I don't know that my sister listened to this, but she remembers. I put together a confession for her that I said, every time the enemy comes in through your doctor and tells you that things are not going to work out the way you think they might work out, then you just get this passage of these scriptures, these faith scriptures, and you begin to confess them over your husband. Because I told you, and boy, when I say stuff like this, I just walk out of the hospital. I go, Lord, I'm just reminding you, I'm being obedient to you. But I would look at my sister at times when it looked like they said, there's not much hope. And I'd look at her and say, Dixie, you'll live and not die. You know, I've said that about other people when they died. But I'm not going to quit saying it. My favorite story is Oral Roberts in an interview with a local newspaper guy, because Oral Roberts traveled around doing healing, tent meetings of healing. And anyhow, one of the reporters in the community that he was at, he asked Oral Roberts, he said, well, what happens if you're in a prayer line and you lay your hands on somebody and they fall dead? What are you going to do? Oral says, I'm going to say next. Because our faith's not based upon what happens to people. Our faith is based upon what happened to Jesus on our behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know about you, but this encourages me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll kind of bounce around here, but verse 14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in who? And how often does he lead us in triumph? Always. How many of you didn't write that verse? It'd be all of us. None of us wrote this verse, and yet it's in the Bible. And so when we read a Bible like, no, I don't seem, there's been some stuff that I've not seemed like I've won in. But I believe God's not a respecter of people. So I go back and say, God, I want to remind you. And usually if sometimes failure happens, it's on our side. Not usually, all the time. It's on our side, not God's. But listen to what Paul says. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ Jesus. When you're praying the prayer of faith and when you're believing in faith, don't go for just part of the deal. Go for the whole thing. Well, Lord, listen, if you just got them this far along, I would be happy. No, the Lord wants to get them all the way back to where they were. He wants to renew their lives. He wants to renew their strength. He wants to heal them from the top of their head to the tip of their toes. Amen? Philemon chapter 6, or chapter 1, verse 6. That the sharing of your faith, this is the New King James, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Where does Jesus live and abide? And the Bible says that we are to share our faith, become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Every good thing. That's how you share your faith. Amplify, I like the way the Amplified says it. Verse 6 of chapter, the only chapter is one chapter of Philemon. And he goes on, he says, and I pray, out of the Amplified, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is ours in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto His glory. If you could get a hold of that at any age, it will change your life forever. What Jesus has done for you. And we acknowledge every good thing that is in us. I always think that if we could get our teenagers to spend at least one third of the time thinking about who they are in Christ compared to being caught up in those video games. Just give Jesus 1 hour a day. It would change their life forever. Amen. It's good preaching, Pastor West. Keep it up. For our faith to be fully effective, we must continually acknowledge every good thing that is in us in Christ. It's not a matter of getting it. It's a matter of just releasing it and telling the enemy what Jesus has done on our behalf. Every good thing that's in Him is in us because He lives and abides in us. I like this scripture, and real honestly, I don't know that I've heard it, but I love it. It just seems like sometimes you can read a scripture, you've been reading it for years, and then all of a sudden you read it and go, that's pretty good. But out of Proverbs 22, beginning in verse 18, and this is out of the King James, says, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee, which is talk about the Word of God, they shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that you may trust in the Lord. Listen to how it says that in the Amplified. For it will be pleasant if you keep them, the word, in your mind, believing them, your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. I am the healed and whole in Christ Jesus. I am blessed, I prosper in every area of my life. Not just financially. Sometimes when you talk the word prosperity, everybody thinks that's all you're talking about is money. That's probably the minimal part of prosperity. Prosperity is having God's full provision in every area of your life. If you have just part of God's prosperity in the area of finances, you're going to be fairly wealthy. But if you have, the Bible says if we have faith just the size of the grain of a mustard seed, and just a small part of that, that our faith would be great. It's big enough to take down mountains, big enough to tear up trees and cast them into the sea. But the thing that we need to remember is when we begin to allow the Word of God to come over our lips, the Word of God, the Bible says, we'll eat the fruit of that. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Everything that I set my hand into and bless. My family, I still believe this, but I do believe that we, through Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And so that when we accepted Him, the blood of Jesus came into our lives, came into our households. And literally, just like the Israelites did the night before they had the great moved out of Egypt and they were to partake of the Passover lamb, they were instructed by God to go out and put blood upon the lintels of the doorpost. And so that when the angel of death did come, that he had no choice but to pass over that home. And I still believe that today, even in today's world, when we're just getting bombarded with stuff. And I don't know about you, but I believe what the Word of God says. And so when the enemy comes in like a flood and he tries to bring something into our own home, and we have professed that the blood of Jesus is over our household, that sickness, that disease has no choice but to pass over. you are not a stopping off place. You say, well, it kind of has stopped off. Well, you're still breathing. And we're going to continue to breathe, and we're going to continue to confess whatever the Word of God tells us to confess. But again, out of the Amplified, Proverbs 22:18. For it will be pleasant if you keep them, the Word in your mind, believing them. Your lips will be accustomed to confessing them. Your lips. And Jesus told us in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in the heart, but believe that those things which they say shall come to pass, they'll have whatsoever they say. That includes anything that's a mountain, any obstacle that's come to try to keep you from enjoying the full benefits of the covenant of God that you have through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we just simply stand our ground. I tell you about me liking war movies, and when Memorial Day weekend comes around, you can find me sitting in front of a TV watching war movie after war movie after war movie. And I always like the tenacity of one of my favorite is Band of Brothers and how they learned to fight together. And they were in a heartbeat all the time wanting, they were willing to lay their lives down in just a moment if they had to. But they were willing to fight. And they continued along that fight. And even when all the odds seemed like they were against them and there's no way they should win that fight. Well, I guarantee you that God probably intervened in a lot of the battles in World War II. Because there was no common reason for them to win a lot of battles. And in our lives, sometimes there's no common reason. Because everybody can tell you, well, this is why it's not going to happen. This is why you're believing the wrong thing. I remember a doctor telling me not too long ago, he asked me some questions, and he asked me if I wanted to have any information. I said no, and he said, so you don't want to know? And I said, no, I don't want to know. I'm just telling you, I don't want what you're offering. He looked at me like I was an idiot. Well, I looked at him like he was an idiot. It was like Idiot Incorporated. I would rather trust God. Because every doctor will tell you that they have been and they've watched over patients that didn't make it. Now all of a sudden they're telling you that they know that they know that they know that you need this, this, and that. And I always think this, I'll do what God tells me to do. But I don't want to do what man tells me to do. Amen. And that's why I like me so much. I love those people. So we want people. And I, as I said Sunday, here's the bottom line. People in our communities where we live, even if they get through this whole thing, there's another thing. There's something else coming down the pike eventually. Because the enemy is just like that. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He is not going to let up. But we're not going to put our guard down. Amen. When you keep your guard up and you guard your heart with all diligence, the Bible says those decisions will put you on the right path. We guard our hearts. And so when the next thing comes down the pike, then we're just going to say, you know, in the name of Jesus, we really do believe that the blood of Jesus causes sickness and disease, any part of the curse of law, it requires that it not stop in your house, but it is required to pass over. And then there's always the people say, what if it doesn't? Well, what if it does? What if it does? What if your salvation really didn't work? Nobody ever, I don't think that way, do you? Do you lay in bed at night wondering, I asked Jesus in once, I'm not sure he came in. Well, you better confirm it and get to where you don't lay there and worry about it every night. It's the same thing about sickness and disease. Literally not be afraid. And I think, and to a larger degree, that's probably what we fight in more than anything. And the enemy has used it. People have used it. It's called the spirit of fear. And we're fighting that all the time. And then the Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and of love and a sound mind. The Bible says fear has torment, but the Bible also says that perfect love casts out fear. So again, when we start walking in the love of God, we do it in a way that literally opens our hearts up to God's faith, which is the victory that overcomes the world and it lives and abides on the inside of us. Amen. The greatest hope we have is Jesus, bar none. He will always be the greatest hope we have in this world. And we're going to be a people that come behind and know good thing. And I believe there's people out there, even if people get through that and say, well, you Christians are all, you know, some of you want it. We talk in my family, if you want to get a vaccination, get a vaccination, but don't require everybody to do what you do. If you want to wear a mask, I say wear a mask, just like I told people early on. Some of you really need to wear them. You're scary. But I do think sometimes, and if people were really honest and they really did any kind of studying, there's very few masks that's been put out there that work. Actually work on a regular basis. And I was talking to my sister, she's more stubborn in some things than I am, but she literally made a mask out of lace. It's got a lot of holes in it, and she went on a plane and went clear to Central America, and nobody said anything to her on an airplane. Nobody. Nice looking mask. But I don't even mean to make fun of that, because sometimes there's people that you may need to wear a mask around just real honestly for their benefit. But if we're putting our trust in those things, we're still going to have to deal with fear, because we're putting our trust in the wrong things. If your faith in God puts you in a position to do that. And then just live it and believe God for that vaccine not to harm you in any way. Just like, how many of you pray over your food? If you eat out a lot and you went back in the kitchens, I guarantee you'd pray more heartily than you do. But we pray over that food because we don't want it to hurt us. And so when we get, even like when you get a vaccination growing up, I've had a flu shot before years ago, but I pray and believe God that that not harm me in any way. Amen. But I do believe that we all, when we come into the kingdom of God, and I'll stop here, but when we come into the kingdom of God, we come in injected, vaccinated by the name of Jesus, which is a name that's above every name, including COVID, including Delta, including cancer, including whatever you want to put in there. That name is above every name. And if you're vaccinated with anything, I'd say be vaccinated with Him. Amen. Father, we bless you tonight. We thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. And Lord, I thank you. I know there's families battling that stupid disease, but I believe, Father God, the wisdom of God permeates every medical person involved in their treatment. And Father God, that people live and not die because we prayed right now. We say with our mouth, they live and not die. We say it again, they will live and not die. And I thank you, Lord, that they be restored to complete health. And it's not partial health, but complete. I thank you, Father God, that your work through your Son was a completed work. Wasn't just partly done, it was completely done. And we thank you for it, Father. And God, that the peace of God would permeate every household represented here. God, we need to live in and under that peace. It needs to literally put its arms around us and guard us and keep us solidly fixed in Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all agreed with that said. Amen and amen. Real quickly before you leave, a lot of you have been asking, and I shared this Sunday, but a lot of you have been asking me when Debbie was coming back. She's going to be back this weekend. And we're going to do something that we've been talking about since we got married, since even before we got married. But we kind of wanted to start taking opportunities from time to time to minister together. And we're going to do that this Sunday. We're going to minister on healing, and we're going to pray for the sick. And you can bring somebody, or you can bring somebody that you're praying for. We're going to believe God. And we're going to believe God just simply to do some miracles in people's lives. And And we're believing that Tim's walking out of the hospital this week in the name of Jesus. That was a real hearty agreement. So be praying about Sunday. And if you know people that need prayer, bring them. Tell people, yeah, I've hugged people that have had COVID. And you say, what do you do when you're done? I go, wash my hands. But I've never seen, you know, I've watched the that new series that's just come out in the last few years on Jesus, his disciples. The Chosen, thank you. But that one part in there where he sees the leper. And the leper comes to him and says, Lord, if you will. And his disciples, I mean, they even pulled out their knives and to kill the leper. I mean, you know, that's like the family of God. You know, we kill our wounded. And but anyhow, Jesus said, keep that. And so the guy said, if you will. And Jesus knelt down to him and just pulled him in close. And the closer he got, the more you started seeing the leprosy just heal up in his body. And then Jesus asked his disciples, did anybody got a cloak? And they gave him one. And this is great because it shows the humanity of Jesus. He put it was a green cloak on it. And after he got off, because his other one was kind of tattered and rotten from the leprosy. And he looked pretty good. And Jesus looked at him and says, you look good in green. Jesus wants you to look good in whatever you're in. But I'm telling you, we live in a day where we can really let healing be a calling card. If we've been standing for healing for a long time, I believe some of that's soon to be short-lived. Amen? Amen. So anyhow, tell some people. And if you can, come. If you can't, be praying for Sunday. And I'm looking forward to ministering with Debbie. Amen. She's just about got me whipped into shape. A little work to go yet, but let's stand together. Everybody say, thank God. Put one hand up. Say, thank God again. Put the other hand up. Say, thank God again. You look like Pentecostal now. Look out. You're dismissed. God bless you. Have a great rest of the week.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.